Hello, everyone. I'm here today with Mike Wixon, and I watched his show with Nadeem Ismail, and I called him and I said, we have to do a follow-up show. And the reason is, I listened to them and I said, man, I need to get on and share some facts and some numbers to really talk through this issue. This is a hot button. And, you know, I dealt with it when I did my annual budget shows. Yeah. And, you know, I really touched the surface of it. I didn't go into it very deep. And, you know, it's one of those, healthcare is one of those segments where the numbers are increasing so rapidly that you really want to dig into it and ask why. So thanks, Mike. I'm glad you came aboard for another show.
Well, thanks for watching the original one. You know, it's interesting because Nadeem did a great job. That report really is, it's very straightforward, as he pointed out to me. Mm-hmm. It's meant to show us how much we spend per person in Canada on healthcare on average.
Right.
And then really that was it. And you know, what we pay for and how it's paid for and where this money comes from. But what it didn't do is really take the deep dive that you and I started talking about that I think is worth sharing.
Yeah, and he did a great job. And I think what he looked at public expenditures. So now this is the interesting part of this discussion, which I get all fired up about, is we have public and private expenditures. So all of us know, you know, we go to the dentist, we pay for it ourselves, or our benefit plan from our company pays for it. So those are called private. When we go to the hospital, that's public, right? So, you know, he shared a number with us, and it's a public number. So that $241 billion in public expenditures is one number, but that's not the total expenditure. So, and I wanted to jump on and talk to you about it.
Yeah.
The total expenditure for 2024 is $372 billion.
That's a remarkable number.
Yeah, it's actually an earthquaking, shattering number when you think about it. You think about the total government expenditures for 2024 were $500 billion. And then when you add up all our private and public healthcare expenditures, both provincially and federally, because federally only makes the transfer payments from the feds for healthcare is only $62 billion.
Right. Okay.
So then you add all the provinces in.
I have to put in their chip in their amount. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you add all our private expenditures and you have $372 billion. Wow. So now it's an interesting game, right? Healthcare, because we don't see it as Canadians. You know, and it's funny, growing up, and I was lucky enough to, like I mentioned in previous shows, I'm lucky enough to have worked in the U.S. and had healthcare benefits in the U.S., and I'm lucky enough to have worked in Canada and grew up in Canada, and I am Canadian, have, you know, participated in the healthcare system here. So, you know, we as Canadians say, I get free healthcare. Well, you don't get free healthcare, right?
It's a misnomer, that's for sure, yeah.
Add up all the things you pay into as a Canadian, your income tax, your EI, your CPP, your HST, your excise tax, provincial, any revenues that the government collects goes into a big pot, a general fund, right? And then they distribute it, whether it be on the provincial or federal level, into programs. So that money's...
You're paying for it from every direction.
Exactly. Yeah, so you're paying for it. So the number works out not to be $5,000 per person, right, and per capita. Now, here's the other interesting part with Nadeem's, the numbers he shared with us. He's giving us the number across the whole population. So he's saying, 38 million people, he divides the total expenditures, $241 billion. He comes up with a number of roughly $5,000, and he says that's what we pay for public health care.
Right.
Which he's right. But then I'm saying, no, that's not totally, it's not the whole picture. The whole picture, if you add in the private health care, you take out kids, you take out unemployment, people who are unemployed, you take out the welfare, you kind of take all those people out of your system, you only have 30 million people. So now that number is growing radically larger, right? So, and you're surpassing $10,000 a person.
That's a good point. We talked about the average per person, but not the average per earning Canadian.
Yeah, we foot the bill.
Yeah.
You and I foot the bill. We're working. We pay.
I wonder what that number is.
Yeah.
It must be north of $30,000 per capita for working individuals. Because if you think, or more, because we are covering let's say, our dad and our mom,
yeah,
who are seniors and three kids potentially that are not earning. It's just that middle group of people that are actually paying for the healthcare system.
Yes.
The people that are employed currently.
Yeah. So, you know, when we look at the public expenditure, it's around 5,000. When we take out all those people, like you said, who aren't participating in the payment of it, you're probably, you're around 12, 13,000 a person. So then multiply that by four, family of four, you're about 50,000 a year.
That's a remarkable number.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no, that we did not extrapolate that actually in that discussion.
No.
It's an interesting point.
Yeah. And it gets, so, you know, we throw around a lot of numbers, but for this discussion, let's do it this way. So apples to apples, so we don't kind of confuse the audience. Let's just look at the total population, right? So if we look at the total population, that'll give us a better feel. But I just wanted to kind of lay out for people that, you know.
And that worked out to about 19,000.
No, it worked out to about
$9,000.
It worked out to about $9,000. So at the end of the day, if you take the $372 billion, you divide that over the full population, it works around $9,000 a person.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you know, family of four, right? You're talking 36, 40,000. Yeah, it's a big nut.
And that is the standard metric against which we're going to compare, I think, in this example.
Yeah, I think so. So, you know, and then, you know, I wanted to, you know, Nick threw up a chart and I wanted to actually just point to it. You know, if you look at this, and this is another, this is a crazy stat. So you look at our healthcare expenditures since 1975, right? So, and we watch them go up. So this is, and you see now us hitting the $372 billion mark. And you think to yourself, wow, are we ever accelerating at a rapid pace? And we're not the only ones, quite frankly. The U.S., when you look at the mirror graph in the U.S. right now, the U.S. is actually accelerating at this pace. So we've come out of, you know, our COVID times, and we just kept growing rapidly. Like a lot of things, we never went down, right?
Right.
We just took off and we keep growing. So,
well, I've often said this about how we operate at the government level, is you can't unring a bell.
Yeah.
So, you know, COVID came. We can't go back. I mean, there's the spending. But the other thing is, you take a look at that graph and you can see the growth of our country alongside that.
Yeah.
But then you can also see this enormous jump in the last 2-3 years. And even the forecast goes beyond that. What do we attribute that to? It must be more people taxing the system in our country.
Part of it is, but it doesn't correlate. So, which you're going to talk about in a minute, it doesn't, you know, it'd be great if it actually correlated directly with the number of people entering the country, but it doesn't, right? Like a lot of things we do. We just seem to have stepped up the pace of our expenditures, thinking, you know, that if we spent more money, our healthcare system would get better.
Right.
You know, the indicators would get better. And I think, quite frankly, we did that during COVID and we kept going.
Yeah.
And, you know, the cries for more hospitals, more beds, more physicians, all that stuff keep coming. And the expenditures keep coming. But, you know, we're going to do some comparisons in a minute. But, you know, that leads us to a bunch of other assumptions. You know, where do we sit? How do we perform? All those good things.
Yeah, you would assume that, you know, as we make comparisons against other countries, we're going to find ourselves, you know, in a category among others that are in the similar situation for wait times and stress and struggles in the system.
Well, but, you know, so let's talk about it. We have an aging population, right? So that is one of the indicators that is a challenge right now. So we're burning the system a little harder with the, you know, more aging people, more health issues, more everything else. Our immigration policies, quite frankly, have burdened our system. You know, you and I talked about before the show, you know, more people enter the country, great. They bring their families. Okay. Now we have some other issues, right?
One of the big issues that I think about, and, you know, I say this off the top of my head and based on anecdotal experience of my own, which is, you know, there are a number of people that have entered our country that are not healthy.
Yes.
You know, they're not screened for cancer or genetic disease or even, you know, advanced conditions of any kind. And then they're brought in, and some of those are very expensive cases that we need to bring back to health.
Yeah, of course. You know, we decided that immigration was a key priority in the country.
Okay.
We moved a bunch of people who currently used to do that, screen people, test, make sure people didn't have issues coming into the country, and basically said, go over and just get people in the country. We forgot to do that.
We had those policies in place, by the way.
We did, after the war, World War I, too. We had all those policies in place, right? And we just forgot.
Yeah.
We just waived them because we felt it was more important to move people into the country.
I can't help but think that that does clog the system when...
You given blood lately?
It's very difficult to even get a clinical time to give blood or get an ultrasound or anything. It's
bizarre. And the number of people, I don't know if you're sitting, when you're sitting in your local life labs or wherever you're going, I don't know if you've noticed when you're talking to the people there, you know, they're there every day. So like when I'm talking to people and I'm sitting there, well, you know, how are you? Good, good. How long do you think it'll take? Well, you know, yesterday it took me, and I'm like, well, yesterday.
What were you doing here yesterday?
What were you doing yesterday, right? You know, so they have illnesses that require them to be monitoring themselves and more, which you never used to. I'll be truthful. You used to go get blood, quite frankly. You'd walk in. This was, you know, a couple decades ago. You'd walk in, go right up, give blood. You never really got to chat with anyone because it was so fast. You'd be leaving. And, you know, if you went the second time, quite frankly, you'd never see the person you saw yesterday.
Well, it's wild. But when I was a kid, if the doctor needed blood from you, they took it.
They took it there.
Anyway, these were different times. But no, I think that when you have so many people arriving with serious illnesses and a responsibility to care for these people, that I think is going to have an impact. Alongside, yes, we did not unring this bell from COVID. We have an aging population.
Yep.
Our GDP is, and I'm sure you'll address this, our GDP is going the other way.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too. You know, and for those people who say, well, I paid into the healthcare system, right? Just so we're all like fully aware, the money you pay through those avenues I talked about, through income tax, EI, CPP, all those things you paid into, don't even come close to covering your healthcare.
Right.
So, I get it. You know, you paid money into it. I appreciate that. I'm very appreciative that everyone did who worked, right? But right now, the actual cost, that $372 billion, is way over what you would have paid into it or contributed.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And so it has to come from someplace. And this is with...
Well, it's our deficits, honestly. Part of our deficits, you know, this is part of the reason we're, you know... we're going to be doing a show with the budget officer, you know, talking about his report. And quite frankly, you know, this is the reason we're talking about 60, 70, you know, if we add in military, $100 billion deficits, right? You know?
It seems almost an impossibility to rein it in. And yet other countries with similar GDP are managing it.
Well, they are, but you know, before we get there, I want to just do a quick thing. I want to go through what this number is broken down by.
Yeah, please.
So, Nick, if you go to the next slide, the next slide actually just shows us, which is a really good slide, and it's kind of a scary slide, and it's what we were talking about a minute ago. It shows you basically that our healthcare is projecting to keep scaling. So you can see the 2020 jump, you know, so we jumped up, you know, 12% of GDP, and then you can see we're going back and it's starting to ramp up again. So, and now to your point, Mike, is GDP potentially may go down, right? So if the tariff predictions and everything going on and the CUSMA negotiations don't go well and we see a little bit of depressed times, recession, we're going to see a little bit of flattening of our GDP, but we're seeing an escalation in our healthcare expenses.
And so that means that our healthcare grows, the ability to pay for it shrinks.
Yes. Well, we just pull more debt. Yeah, we just pull more debt. So, Nick, you want to go to the next one? Okay. So this one is by category, right? So this is kind of one of my interesting when I went into it. So, you know, 100%, of course, we're dealing with percentages here. 25% of that $372 billion, right, goes to hospitals. So it makes sense. You know, we put into our healthcare system, a quarter of it goes to build our beds, hospitals, whatever.
Yeah. That's equipment, sense. Everything in, operations, maintenance, overhead.
Exactly.
Land lease, everything.
Yeah. Drugs. This one was shocking because I couldn't figure this out in my mind. We're 13.7% for drugs, which... I thought we were the land of generic drugs, but it doesn't appear we are.
Well, I looked at this.
Yeah.
We're at almost the same number as comparable countries that don't have generic brands.
Yeah.
So how is that possible?
Well, apparently we've created new brands. So when I looked into this, we've created a whole subset of new brands, which we say are better, more improved.
Yeah.
But we charge the same as...
Oh, I see. So
yeah.
The generic, it's generic plus the plus.
Yeah. So it's better. It's the new improved diabetes drug. It's a new improved.
Okay.
But our cost per dosage is basically the same as a non-generic drug.
Gotcha.
So we've kind of...
So we take the generic drug and we enhance it, therefore making it a more expensive or comparable.
Exactly.
Price. I see.
So we've done a good job of keeping that. Other institutions, so that's, other medical offices, therapy, whatever. And then physicians. So physicians make up 13.3%. So, hopefully down the road, and we a lot of these stats, which I'm very thankful that the Canadian Institute of Healthcare, provided, which is great. We pulled a lot of these data from them. They do an amazing job at creating the stats that tell us about our healthcare system. And the Fraser Institute guys, of course, their report was amazing.
Well.
So thank you for that, guys. And we really appreciate the numbers and sharing them with us. Physicians, it's interesting. And there are some reports, which we're going to do on future shows, which rank ourselves the number of physicians per province and the number of physicians in Canada ranking or versus other countries. So we'll do another show and we're going to go through that. Hospital
diagnosis.
Beds, number of physicians, all that good stuff. Right?
Or a diagnostic on what we're looking at. Because I take a look at these numbers, Paul, and it's interesting, but I look at hospitals, 25%. Mm-hmm. Physicians and other professionals come in at about 24%.
Yes.
So hospitals and people are the two major expenses here.
Oh, yeah.
Public health, a little shocking to me that it's only 6.1%. But then again, what does public health actually do except for create awareness and, I guess, during a time of COVID, make sure that we're vaccinated and informed?
It's the administration that gets us, We have almost 10% administration costs built into our system, right?
What is capital?
Capital is money required to build facilities, buy equipment, all that good stuff.
So add that to hospitals, institutions.
Yes.
And we come in closer to, almost 30%.
Higher. Actually, it's almost 40. So,
add to it other institutions and you're almost 40. Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't shock me at all, but, per capita, that's where it gets scary. All right. So now, we look at where are we in comparison to other countries? So not shocking that the U.S. is higher than us. I think that's what we all thought. Not radically higher, but higher. And if you look at this, now this is broken down by public versus private spending. So of course, you can see it's almost 50-50 in the US. So in the US, you have your public expenditures, which, mostly for people who need social assistance, people who need some help with their healthcare. And then you have people who buy their own plans, the HMOs, their own private healthcare plans, their insurance, all that good stuff, right? So it's a 50-50. You see in Canada, it's broken down 71 to 29. So basically, we're still mostly public healthcare, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're subsidized. It comes through. We pay through our taxes, all that good stuff. And then quite frankly, 29% is our other incidentals, dental, other therapies, things like that, right? So, and then now it's Australia, which I wanted to point out today. So Australia is 73% and 27. So Australia's kind of taken a little different approach and they've tried to go off and they've tried to tinker with their healthcare system to improve it. They've made a bigger jump than us. And I think, Mike, let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, it's interesting because, we take a look and this is, like I say, just discussion between you and I, and you're better with the numbers than I'll ever be. But I look at 47.53 on the U.S. side of things, and then I see Canada at 30%. And the chart's interesting because that bar is not 30% of that bar, okay? So if we're at 30.70, we're really not that far off, you know, 50-50, truthfully. I mean,
no,
we're 20% more per capita, and we're almost in the same boat. And then you take a look at Australia, that's almost a carbon copy. But I think, Paul, the real issue there becomes, okay, the money is, the stats are.
Yeah.
But the end product, I think, is really what's a startling revelation through all of this. We spend not a huge amount more than America. We're almost the same as Australia. The level of service is startlingly different. I'll give you some examples. Wait lists in Australia. 39% will wait for 1 month to see a specialist. In Canada, 61% of patients wait 1 month to 3 months to get a specialist. Elective surgery delays, easy for me to say. Canada, 20% of patients wait more than a year for elective surgery. In Australia, 12% have a wait that is longer than 6 months.
Wow.
Timely primary care access. Canada, only 43% can get same day or next day a GP appointment. In Australia, 72% can get a same day appointment. In the emergency departments.
We do. So take me through that again, because that's very interesting. I want to see my GP.
Yep.
In Canada, you 43% can get the next day. So 57 can't.
Right.
Right. And in Australia, 3/4 can.
In Australia, 12% will only wait. Where am I? This was on just primary care.
Yeah.
72% will get the same day.
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
which is one of the most annoying things for me. I don't know about you, but, you know, I call and I had my son recently had an issue, you know, and I called up and, you know, next week. And I'm like, next week?
No, but he's ill now.
Yeah. By the time next week came around, and the funny thing is, so now I'm going through it. By next week, he's feeling better. So we go.
Yeah.
Right. I says, well, you better see a specialist because he had it last week, but we don't really know what it was because you weren't here last week. So now I get this call, you know, today, you know, we have a specialist appointment. I'm like, what the hell?
I'm sorry. What was that for again?
He's running around playing the guitar, having fun. And now you want me to go all the way downtown to go to a specialist a week after he had the symptoms. Yeah. Which I don't see anymore.
Wait and see medicine, Paul. You know, hopefully he makes it till his appointment, or he'll be better and you'll cancel.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, you're right. We're in that scenario. And like, let's go back. Elective surgery, that's one thing. Actual surgery, the numbers are also the same. If you can't get primary care and triage a problem, you might be leaving cancer in somebody that's going to kill them. Or at least tax our system a heck of a lot more and the human involved.
We're going through that with a colleague right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very scary stuff.
It's very scary. It's intense because you think to yourself, somebody needs to deal with this today.
Yeah.
This person's suffering today.
And he's up for treatment in February.
And
right?
He's been going at it since the summer.
Summer. So he's going to be, he's not quite a year. He's almost 3/4 of a year before he'll have a life-saving treatment.
Right.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Mm. Oh, this will make you crazy, Paul. Emergency department waits. 29% of patients report waits of 4 hours. In Australia, 18% report waits longer than 1 hour.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to go on a side bender for a minute. Can someone fly over to Australia and find out what they're doing differently? Like, seriously, it must be. I mean, there can't be.
No, you raise an
amazing point.
There
could be a small team of people. You know what? Go to the races. Go to the beach. Have some fun. Maybe, you know, have a few drinks. You know, go see a couple kangaroos.
Don't forget the Tasmanian devil. Get over to Tasmania.
Tasmania. So go do that. You know, I don't mind. You know, take some taxpayer dollars. Have some fun, too. But please go see and find out what they're doing. Honestly, we kind of made fun. I don't know, and I shouldn't say this, and I don't mean this in a bad way. But you know, for years Australia was kind of a little bit of a you know, we joked around about Australia and how Australia was a little backward. You know, we all watch, what's his Dundee?
Oh yeah, Crocodile Dundee. Knife. That's a knife. That was the worst Australian accent ever. My apologies.
We always watch, we watch Crocodile Dundee movies. Yeah. Oh man, they're backwards. You know, they right. They go into the outback and look at how backwards
shades
they are.
Shades with a knife.
Yeah, shades with a knife. Right. You know. Well, heck, they have a better hospital system than us. So
sorry about the stereotyping, Australia, but you earned it.
Yeah.
this one really is shocking. Paul. In Australia, 45% of people carry private hospital coverage, giving them faster access to specialists and surgery. We don't have that in Canada. This is a major, major difference. And that model that we need to go investigate there, I think, is this hybrid model where you can upgrade yourself. Even if, I'll give you an example, our friend that we want faster treatment for.
Right.
I will stop at the bank. I know you will too.
Oh, yeah. We'd chip in. Yeah. What the heck?
It's not an option for us.
No, we don't. We'd have to send him abroad.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he'd be heading to Europe or the US to get the treatment faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that I think, you know, the numbers say that we are on par with some other Commonwealth countries.
Well, yeah, it does really. So, like, you know, if, and let's go to the next slide, Nick. So, here's our healthcare spending with other countries. So, the US, of course, right? And this is per capita numbers. Now, remember, this is 2022. So the U.S. per capita spend $15,113, right?
That's them covered for health.
Yes.
Okay.
Private and public, right?
So we just broke down. $7,000 more than what we're paying.
So you know that market, we just saw that graph that showed they basically go 50-50 private and public, right? So they're getting $15,113. Now, when I looked into this, it's very interesting, which I mentioned earlier, and I've got to find out the reason for this on another show. This was not the case. So prior to COVID, this number was half almost.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this number has, since COVID, this number has skyrocketed.
So they're still paying for COVID, for the infrastructure that was built in El Rapido.
Whatever happened here literally has jettisoned them into a huge cost increase on healthcare, which they must be screaming about, quite frankly. So Germany, of course, 10,131. The Netherlands, pretty much where we are, 8,631. Sweden, 8,314. And France, which is 8,212, and then we're 8,109, right?
So we're roughly the same. We're in the same neighborhood as France and Australia.
Yes.
And New Zealand.
Yeah. Now, this is 2022. We've increased, so we're now 9,000. So we went up. So not only did the U.S. go up, we went up another $1,000 by the time we went to 24.
Right.
So, because the only comparative numbers
That's a pretty heavy increase.
Oh, it is. You figure
over the scan of the first
one-eighth.
The first graph. Yeah.
Yeah. 1/8.
But compared to the first graph that we saw from 1975 to now. And by the way,
yeah,
if you get lost in the slides that we're talking about because you're listening, go ahead, go to tplmedia.ca.
Yeah.
And you can download the PowerPoint that Paul made here. It's very handy.
Now, the average, actually, it's interesting. The UK, which is roughly 7,600, 958, the average for developed countries is only $6,300 bucks. So we're well above the average, especially when we come into 2024, which is, you know, it just gives you a feel, you know, because people always ask, where are we? Well, you're not getting your health care for free, right? You're paying a significant amount and you're paying at the top. We're in the top six big spenders for healthcare in the world right now, in the developed world.
I was going to say, these are all well-developed countries that we're comparing
to.
And there are other countries that have healthcare systems that work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, look at, you know, even comparison ones, like Nadim brought it up, Germany, the Netherlands, Sweden. When you go to there, you're not going to find some of the critical issues we have broken in our system right now. Yeah.
And that's why, back to your point, let's go discover what model is actually reasonable for us to work with.
Yeah. It doesn't seem, what's the outbreak analysis?
Yeah.
Let's go take a look at why this system is broken and then go fix it. And it seems.
You know what? You just touched on something. Outbreak analysis, stand by. for a series on outbreak analysis on TPL Media, because if you don't know what this theory is, you need to understand it. It's really the basis on which we need to take a look at almost every problem in this country.
Yeah, especially government problems like healthcare, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. All right, so Nick, go to the, I think there's another slide. So
this is the percentage of our GDP we spend?
Yeah.
Okay.
So now again, 2022. So remember, this is going up in our case. But we've launched, in this case, we've launched from number 6 in the developed world to number 5. So we outspent, we kind of hopped ahead of a few other ones that fell down, like the Netherlands and Sweden. Don't spend as much per GDP as we do. Their GDPs are better comparatively, and they don't spend as much.
Right.
So, or populations are lower. So, but you look at us, we're now at 11.2%, the U.S. being the highest at 16.5%. So, you know, the chart clearly shows that something in the U.S. isn't working, but Canada isn't far behind.
Right.
Because we're escalating at a rapid rate with a GDP that's struggling. And, you know...
And we're we're not getting medical attention.
No, we're not getting quality of care, but... We're also taking more money, throwing it at the problem and not getting the results, right? And as our GDP struggles, you know, the U.S., I think I've done it on previous shows, the U.S. clobbers us with GDP growth. Like, we are not even close to the U.S. We're like half of their GDP growth.
So they actually have the room to adjust within their GDP.
Yes.
That insane number, which I think, once again, has more to do with paying the price, the previous price on COVID spending in the U.S. that they're still paying for that.
Yeah, they never. It's one of those things. A lot of things in our life, you know, whether it be groceries, building materials, we hit COVID, they went up, they never came down.
Well, they bought a lot of stuff during COVID.
Yeah,
that you can't return.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, what they had to do as part of their outbreak response, they felt, was spend enormous amounts of money. A lot of which would just go to the dump.
Yes, exactly.
And that, the bill for that, I think, is still reflected, and maybe still being reflected in all of these countries, because the whole world experienced this. This was a shared experience.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I think maybe those numbers come down, but once again, we never unring the bell financially. We never go backward and say, hey, look, we can spend less.
Well, but we have, you know, but can we? I guess that's what we're kind of coming up against now. That's our whole... economic outlook that we're going to be going through in the next few months. Can we?
Yeah.
Can we? Where does the rubber hit the road, and where do we have to make some of those tough decisions and say, these things can't keep going up, we got to cut them? Or do we have to put user fees? You know, quite frankly, and I know a bunch of baby boomers are going to be like, you know, like they're going to be screaming at the video.
Yeah, but any generation under that says, yeah, let me pay for what I need. You cannot provide it to me.
Yeah.
I think that is, we just recently heard, Paul, almost 1 million Canadians walked out of the emergency room before getting triage care.
Right. Okay. So it's just a terrible stat, right? But if you're going to use the emergency room now, should there be a user fee? Before you get in the...
If I can get in the next hour, for sure, I'll pay.
Yeah.
I think that's a sentiment a lot of people have.
Yeah. Should there be a blood user fee? To get blood, you know, to get your blood tested, should it be a user fee? Like, again, should it all be free? Should we start to, you know,
or at least can we have an option? And like Australia does, they have a private opt-in option. Like, let's give commerce a chance in this regard. A lot of great clinics around the world are private.
Yes. Yeah. No, I agree. Nick, do you want to go to the next slide? So, you know, it's interesting because the Canadian Institute of Health, you know, great group. They actually came up with some key findings. And I really wanted to go through them with you today because I think it's really important, you know, to highlight them and then talk about, you know, some of the other challenges we're going through. So we've already talked about, you know, Canada is expected, you know, we're going to have $372 billion in 2024, and we did. It's anticipated that health expenditures will represent 12.4 of our GDP.
Yeah.
Right? We did that, right? Healthcare spending in Canada is expected to increase by 5.7 in 24 and rise after a rise of 4.5 in 23 and 1.7 in 22.
Wow. Oh my God.
So again, we keep rising, rising, rising. We're not leveling off, right? And I think that's very important.
Let's take a look at that from 22 to 24. That's incredible. That's we're looking at a 12% increase.
Yes.
That's in 2 years.
Yes.
That's remarkable.
Yeah. You know,
that's staggering.
Is your income going up by?
No, that's my first thought was, I can't afford groceries. I can't afford healthcare to be more expensive.
Exactly. So the other two are very similar. So it's our private healthcare is going up. So we see a 6% increase in 23 and 6.1 in 24. Our hospital expenditures are increasing by 6.3 in 23 and 6.1 in 24. Physician expenditures are projected to increase by 7.5 and 4.4 in 24. Drug expenditures are projected to increase by 5.6 in 23 and 3.8 in 24. So all these things are going up 23, 24.
Yeah.
They're going up in 25, right? So we just keep going up. You know, the numbers we're getting, we're seeing from, you know, last year's numbers, of course, and the year before. But when we get to the 25 numbers, we're going to see similar increases.
Okay, so let me see if I understand this right.
Yeah.
The biggest issue in this healthcare thing financially is that we're making no more, in some cases, less money per capita.
Mm-hmm.
But our health care continues to soar, which we cannot pay for because we don't have the income to do it at the federal level or the provincial level. And so we just keep transferring payments to the provinces. That just keeps hitting the bottom line and our deficit increases.
Yes.
So
we keep yelling about poor service.
And we have terrible service.
Yeah. On top of it.
Something needs done.
Yeah, it needs reconfigured. Like it really, you know, it's time. And, you know, and I think
that's an easy thing to say. Something needs done.
But it is an easy thing to say. But has anyone ever told us this story?
It's a pretty wild story. I mean, just a couple of points that have stuck out in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
We have generic drugs, yet our pharmaceuticals are incredible.
Yes.
We have one of the highest rates of spending in the
developed world.
In the developed world on healthcare.
Yep.
And yet we can't use it. Efficiently.
No.
And we don't have an end in spending or increase on spending in sight in any manner. Nobody has their eyes on how do we level this out? How do we bring this closer to our GDP ratios?
Yeah. And it should be fixed. Honestly, it should be, you know, we should be tailoring it to our GDP. There should be a common, rational increase every year based on GDP growth.
Yeah.
And we should level back, right? Level back, level out. But, you know, and this is the crazy part, Mike, wow. when you go through. Take a look at the next slide, Nick, for a minute. So, you know, we came up with and everyone's well aware that we came up with a bunch of programs, right? Whether it be Medicaid, so prescriptions, you know.
We've got dental now.
We have dental. They're all good programs. They're all good
important.
Policies.
Yeah.
No, they are important. We can't afford them.
Right.
Right? So just, you know, basic math.
It was vote buying, actually.
It was vote buying. It was great, you know, and we sat there and we said, you know, we're going to remember, I don't know if you guys remember, but, you know, there are several federal sessions where, you know, in order to avoid non-confidence, there was monies given by the government to keep programs going, whether they be dental care programs. And, you know, they stood up and said, we got dental care for all the people who can't afford dental care. And we got, okay, where did we concede? We didn't concede anything, right? And
because
now,
in the end, we pay for it again. Like, don't be fooled. The majority of Canadians are going to pay heavily.
Yes.
For that, those.
Oh, we are now.
Added programs.
We are now. They're in.
Look at the increase.
Yeah.
Is already there.
Yeah. You know, and of course, you know, we continue to talk about solutions for private and public healthcare, hybrid. You know, we continue to lobby against, you know, there's a huge lobby against any private healthcare that ever comes about.
It seems every single time.
Every single time. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. So if there's a lobby against it, what's the solution?
Well, a lobby cannot be what prevents us from doing the right thing. A lobby has a very specific idea,
yes,
for a very specific group of people.
Right.
I don't know what their agenda is necessarily in keeping it all public, but I do know this. A lobby group needs to be there saying, now we need privatization, at least a hybrid model of it, because we can't afford this and yeah. It's not working.
Well, you know, and truthfully, you know, two things are the main factors that keep it going, right? They lobby because, number one, it's highly unionized.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get it, right? You know, you want to keep the security of a union. Therefore, you want to keep in a public system. And then second one is pensions, right? So you want to keep your pension programs. If you go to private healthcare, quite frankly, a lot of those are not pensioned or unionized jobs and they don't pay. I get it, right? But we can't afford it.
But also,
we can't afford it.
In the private sector, they sometimes have better paying positions.
Yes.
It opens the door to so many professionals we have without employment. It gives us a reason to retrain people.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us, you know, new economies to think of. Instead of paying all of this healthcare with our taxes, they could be taxing privatized companies with healthcare and increasing our bottom line at the federal level. I think it just doesn't make sense to me.
And quite frankly, if unionization and pension security is the key issue at the table, figure out a way to deal with private companies to deal with those issues. Those issues, you know, the model should not be broken because we can't deal with two security. Our healthcare providers should be well taken care of, compensated, secured, and pensioned. I agree with it, right? But those should not be the issues that break the system because we want to stick in a public system that doesn't work.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I wrote a commentary. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
In Canada, you wait so long to see a doctor, by the time your appointment comes up, you might qualify for a senior's discount. That's if we go private. In Australia, you'd already be treated and back at the beach. Enjoy your day at Bondi. So, yeah. Well, thanks, Paul, for taking us through these numbers, because that's the perspective alongside us complaining about terrible care that actually kind of magnifies the problem, but we need to do something about it. We got to do something about it together. Talk to your politicians. You know, make sure, you know, this is the one thing I say to people, make sure your vote is correct.
Yes.
Because your vote comes directly out of your wallet.
Exactly. Thanks, Mike. Yes. I really appreciate it. And then please, you know, we're going to do more shows and we're going to keep breaking down, healthcare stats, which I think are very important to keep the dialogue going. So please subscribe, watch, and enjoy.